Coming up on this week in computer hardware, new Intel CPUs pack Radeon graphics, and Raja Koduri just left AMD to build discrete GPUs for Intel. It's crazy, people. Intel's Optane P4800X, 750 gigabyte. We got a review. Hint, it's fast. Why iPhones might win the battle for best low-light cameras and GPUs for Wolfenstein 2. All coming up next on Twitch.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Twitch is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware, episode 440, recorded on November 9th, 2017. New Intel CPUs pack Radeon graphics. This episode of This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/twitch. Welcome to Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware, Twitch weekly show that aims to bring you the most useful, most engaging, most informative, most delightful, and occasionally most criminally humorous discussion of PC and mobile hardware available in this universe or any other known or unknown universe. Borrowing that last bit from a piece of boilerplate I had to sign once to get a bonus. This universe or any known or unknown universe. Joining me, ladies and gentlemen, a man of this known universe and possibly unknown universes, because he did used to play with nuclear reactors in his previous career. Yes, it's Alan Malventano, PC Per's storage expert and man about town. How's it going, man?
I'm not sure I could live up to all the unknown universe quantum whatever you're
throwing at me. How about this? Alan Malventano, photographer of cats and storage expert.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I kind of asked for that one since I photographed all of the cats around Patrick's premises the last time I was there. I'll take it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm doing good.
There's small creatures sneaking in over my shoulder right
now. Yeah, I see your spawn over there.
There was a Netflix fail. Hard to tell if this was a user or an interface issue, but I'm putting my money on the user in this case. The last time I had this particular moment, it was much more intense, and I was sitting in one of the last Apple events I was invited to attend before I was, you know, forgotten or blacklisted. I can't remember which. I think I was blacklisted and then forgotten, but it was when Steve Jobs reversed all of the bull hockey he'd been slinging about Intel processor performance because they moved the entire line of Apple PCs, desktops, and MacBooks over to Intel processors. And this is so bizarre to me. Intel has announced new CPUs integrating AMD Radeon graphics. Just let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, you heard that, folks. You heard what you just said.
And when we're going to say two other things in just a second that are even crazier. You know, what's going on? I mean, this looks like a what I will affectionately call a freaking massive processor.
Well, I mean, it's not just a processor, right? I mean, there's an extra, what is it called? A multi-die interconnect bridge, I believe, is the new term that Intel's using there. But it's kind of like the thing that we saw, like, with the Vega GPUs, where they had the memory integrated right next to the GPU, all within the same substrate, just all mounted to the same little kind of like a, you know, an interim PCB or whatever you want to call it, you know, just some method of grouping the things before you put them onto the motherboard. And that's what's going on here. So Intel had this, you know, they already had this technology, this way of linking, you know, their CPU with something off to the side in a relatively fat, you know, fast communicating manner and whatnot. But they just wanted to have, you know, the ability to put a faster GPU on there, faster than what they can do themselves. Now, these parts are supposed to still have the Intel integrated GPU as well. It's just that the end result, when you put it into a system, a laptop, low power kind of desktop system, maybe, when you put this combined part in there, it will act just as if you had a discrete GPU along with a CPU, like where you had those laptops that can use the integrated graphics and then they can switch over on the fly to, you know, a GeForce something or an AMD something, right? Same deal here, except the packaging is way smaller, right? The footprint, way smaller, and you're still getting decent performance. We had some leaked performance numbers, I believe, that are in that article if you scroll a little further down. And the figures that we saw come out on the leak ran somewhere between a mobile 1050 Ti and a mobile GTX 1060. So in something that's in a very compact form factor that's taking something, you know, somewhere around half of the footprint on the motherboard, to get that, you know, to get reasonably, you know, pretty good graphics performance for, especially for mobile, out of something that's such a small footprint. Yeah, I mean, you led off this point talking about Apple. This is the exact kind of thing that you would end up seeing in like an Apple, you know, computer, Apple laptop, right? Because they always tout the MacBooks, how small they can get the PCB and everything. And now, you know, the only thing left is the storage and the RAM. Everything else is sitting right there, you know, on that package. I kind of joked about on the podcast that all you need is like some cross-point and some RAM and some little bit of flash and pile them all on that same PCB and you literally have everything you need. You know, everything else is just everything else is just interconnection and batteries. You know, so it's impressive. Counter is, of course, like if your GPU fails, you're not necessarily going to DIY fix this thing, right? You're not going to go on eBay and find some extra board for your laptop and swap it out or try to upgrade after the purchase or anything. This is just what you get is what you get, right? It's all built into a part. It was all done at the factory. You're not changing anything. But at the end of the day, it'll make things smaller, cheaper, lighter, you know, all those things, which, of course, is where all this computer stuff's going. Yeah, there's a video showing them where all the parts would have to be laid out onto the board of the thing, and if you just combine them all together, you can save a lot of room. You know.
How about that, you don't have, kids?
Yeah. They're using the HBM memory, so it's all the dies are stacked on top of each other off to the side of the GPU, and then on top of that, you know, just the fact that the GPU is right there parked right next to the CPU.
Right.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
It is interesting. The plot thickens, however, when we look at our next story for the day. Well, not so thick. This isn't the thick part. Hades Canyon Nook with AMD graphics spotted, and you know, the next unit of computing, the new unit of computing, the Nook, the delete expletive Nook, which I actually only heard once when somebody lost the power supply to it, which I think is really on them and not on the Nook, to be perfectly honest. I will point
Here's what's so great about this story. The previous news came out that we just talked about yesterday on the podcast last night on the PC Perspective podcast. We were like, just speculating back and forth. There was a little bit of back and forth on, do you think they could actually put this in a Nook? Well, there it is. Like, we're, you know, I was saying, well, of course they would put one in a Nook. It'd be easier to cool. You have a single heatsink over all of those surfaces at the same time. Yes, it's a little more power output than your typical Nook has. But, I mean, you know, we're talking 35 or 40 watts or somewhere around there. And a Nook can dissipate that. Like, there have been Nooks, you know, with enough you know, heat dissipating capability to do that. And look at how compact that is. I mean, that's the CPU and the GPU and the GPU memory. Like, just all just sitting right there. Right? You know, and you even get to consolidate. You even get to group together. Like, notice some of those voltage regulator modules are no doubt for the CPU, and then another bank off to the other side is also for the GPU. You get to shrink things so much, like the effect just builds. Right, you're just being so efficient with your PCB space there. I mean, you there's more space just for a couple of sticks of RAM and the SSD on that PCB.
You're pretty delighted by this,
yeah. Than all of the processing capability that it needs, right?
Right.
So, you know, cool stuff, right?
I'm not arguing.
Yeah, no.
And then things got even crazier. Why don't you talk about this one?
I actually don't have all the details myself. I mean, I have the high-level stuff. But Raja Koduri was basically, you know, guy in charge of the Radeon Solutions Group. In other words, the group of which came the Vega GPUs that we saw recently launched, right? He took a sabbatical after that launch. No doubt he was kind of spent because, you know, who knows how many late nights in a row that poor guy had done, you know, trying to get that launch and make everything smooth, right? Took a sabbatical, and then during the sabbatical he said, well, I might not be coming back. And then made that official, followed up almost immediately by, oh, by the way, I'm going to go work at Intel.
At this point, if we were really in an anime movie, the character would be like,
yeah.
Nani?
This I think is why it's good that I'm pretty sure California has outlawed non-competes and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, whether you'll be sued into oblivion around that is an entirely different question that I don't know.
I don't know. And so we don't know for sure what's going to come of this, but it obviously probably means better things in the graphics department for Intel in the future, right? Like they kind of need help in the whole integrated graphics or just graphics in general thing. Like they've taken stabs at trying to do GPU stuff on their own.
Yes.
And it's never ended very well for them. I mean, it's ended sort of okay in that they would usually end up with a GPU that they could attach to their processor.
Yeah.
And call it, you know, be good enough to call it integrated graphics, but never anything that's going to compete with like the likes of, you know, discrete graphics. But I mean, they could eventually get there. Don't expect anything overnight, because assuming that there was a team ready to design and build stuff and everything, you're still talking like a couple of years out to have any kind of fruits of you know, this changeover. But I'm pretty sure Intel doesn't even have that kind of a team in place. Roger would probably have to, you know, put that team together under him.
Well, they have a fair amount of engineering talent inside of Intel. They have a fair amount of graphics talent, maybe not at the level that he's been operating. But I think the bigger question, I think what it will be interesting to see is if and when any lawsuits start flying and how that impacts product releases. I mean, you know, if you're going to go to a company, you know, it's always good to go to a company from, you know, company A, which has a lot of lawyers, to company B, which has a lot more lawyers than company A. You know, but this is going to be one of those things where, you know, we've seen this happen with Tesla and a whole bunch of other places. An employee leaves, they have information or knowledge, intellectual property, if you will. And then the company they moved to gets sued by the company they left. This just seems ripe for something like that. Although, you know, everybody at both these companies is pretty smart and probably don't want to spend millions of dollars on lawsuits.
There is also a possibility that this, we don't know, we don't know for sure, obviously, anything, but think of the other thing that we just talked about happened. So now you have an AMD GPU right next to an Intel CPU on an Intel substrate all packaged together by Intel. Now you have the AMD GPU guy moving over to Intel. So maybe there's some future even better integration there. Maybe, who knows? Who knows where that could go? But, times are a-changing, I guess, is the best thing you could say out of what just happened here, you know, and I'm sure Ryan will try to get him back on. We've had Raja on a live stream before for PC Purr. The bourbon bottle is standing by for him for the next time he's in town.
Bonded whiskey from just a county over.
If you haven't seen that video, it's pretty funny. Even if you're not interested in all of the in-depth technical discussion that took place in that video, there was a break point in the video because our stream went down or something happened, like a streaming computer blue screened. Uh-huh. And everybody was about, Ryan was pouring the drinks then. The joke we did was when the stream came back, we had took the full bourbon bottle and emptied it into a few big cups and had the bottle there empty on the table. So when the stream came back, everybody was acting just like spent with the bourbon bottle, empty on its side and everything. It was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
But
it boggles the mind.
Oh,
it does.
There it is. There's the empty bourbon bottle. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thus legends are made.
Yeah.
Speaking
I mean,
of legends,
see what happens.
Nah, that's all we can do. Hopefully awesome things for consumers. You are excited about Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus. Guru 3D got in depth with graphics performance, with perhaps my favorite disclaimer in quite some time. Quote, Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, will not sit well with everybody in relation to the Nazi theme and visuals, the intense gore levels, and really some disgusting things that will happen in the game. If you cannot stomach it or do not like the theme, please stop reading this review and move onwards to a game that suits you. That said, welcome to this review. It's Vulcan API only. That is interesting. They looked at everything from 1080p, all the way up through 4K, UHD TV, 2160p, which is a whole lot of pixels. They looked at VRAM usage. They looked at CPU scaling. If you have been eagerly anticipating Wolfenstein 2 for quite some time, this is, I love how in-depth they got, because they took a look at CPU scaling with Core i7 4790K, Core i7 5960X running at 4.2 gigahertz, a Ryzen 7 1800X running at 4.1 gigahertz, and a Ryzen 7 1800X at the stock clock. And what's crazy about this is, they all run within a fistful of frames of each other, in many cases within a single frame of each other. In other cases, there's, a slight advantage to, at 1280 by 720, there's a 6, 7, 8 frame advantage for the Core i7, the Intel parts over the AMD parts. By 1920 by 1080, that's narrowed to three frames at the largest discrepancy. And at higher resolutions, they are indistinguishable from each other. Vulcan's threading over like all the cores, like all 8 cores and 16 threads on an AMD Ryzen 1800X. GPU performance, I'm going to throw Guru 3D some love and tell you to head over there. But generally speaking, the more GPU you have, the more successful it's going to be. GTX 1070 running at 2560 by 1440 is delivering 63 frames per second. A Ti bumps it to 75. A Vega 56 to 79. A GeForce GTX 1080 to 79. And then as you climb higher, assuming you can even buy a Vega 64 or a 1080 Ti, the numbers max out with an NVIDIA Titan X at 100 frames per second. So,
I played it through the weekend after it launched on a 1080 Ti and on an ultra wide, 1440p ultra wide. So, even sits between those results and like 4K results. And it was pretty much smooth, like 85, 90 frames per second.
Mm-hmm. What resolution and what GPU?
That's it's not 25 by 14. It is 3440 by 1440.
1440. Yeah.
I forget what the ultra wide number is.
Right. 3440 by 1440.
Yeah, it was
or
that.
I just click on my monitor and look at the resolutions.
or that. Yeah, you have the same panel.
Yeah, 3440 by 1440. I was thinking about that because I was playing around with Alienware's new 34-inch ultra-wide 100-hertz overclockable to 120-hertz G-Sync monitor and thinking, I might actually finally have a use for G-Sync. Although we did finally notice, as you pointed out, most of the games I run are running at 150 frames per second on a 1070.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to look at some of the background. The G-Sync cleaned up the background a lot more so than the actual the cars and the interaction with the cars and the ball in the stadium. But the background in the stadium got cleaned up a bunch by G-Sync. But
anything that would be a smooth pan where you would see a bunch of judder or tearing if you had V-Sync on, like that's the kind of stuff that G-Sync just takes care of for you. And especially if you're in the, you notice it more at the lower frame rates, right? If you're playing a game if you're into retro gaming and you're playing a bunch of old stuff that's just able to just peg whatever you have, it's not going to benefit you nearly as much, especially now with displays like you're saying, ultra wide 34 inch that goes all the way up to 120 hertz. That's pretty high for even a large panel. You know, and you start getting to the point where it's diminishing returns with G-Sync or FreeSync, with either one, right? Just the faster your refresh rate, the less impact it has.
Yeah, at the 2160p, at like the 4K resolutions, you know, it's amazing to look like a 1070 Ti running 46 frames per second, a Vega 56, if you can actually buy one at 47 frames per second, a 1080, 48 frames per second. These numbers are tight. This is a pretty abusive GPU thrashing kind of experience. So, you know, if you're looking for an excuse to upgrade, this may be your excuse.
And it's a fun game.
Oh my goodness. Crazed Nazi warfare, mayhem, death, like Doom, but with something you can really get your hate on with.
Yeah, basically.
Amplify announces Teleport. Robert Harrod's a big fan of Amplify. I've been running Amplify in my house, alternating with Eero and Netgear Orbi and a couple of others. I really like the application from Amplify, and I thought it was interesting. They decided to offer a zero configuration VPN called the Teleport, and I thought it was very interesting that they're doing this as a Kickstarter project. So that launched, I want to say, this morning. It runs through November 23rd, but the 18,752 pledged of a $50,000 goal, and it's designed to work to, you know, basically connect your home network to anywhere you want to go. So if you're worried about a VPN but trust your ISP, it's pretty slick. It links with the Amplify account, creates a secure connection to the Amplify HD Wi-Fi system, and then you just, you know, you use the Teleport device, you plug into a wall socket on the road and connect it to the public Wi-Fi or Ethernet, and then connect your devices to the Teleport, which sounds complicated and maybe more complicated than launching a VPN inside of Windows or on your phone, but gives you a whole bunch of options and a fairly secure one, especially if you want to play around with hotel Wi-Fi and you're a little nervous about that.
I think it has like an app or some page you just go to on your phone. It makes it pretty painless to connect it like on the fly. And, you know, it helps out with other stuff. Like if you can't get on Netflix. You're in some other country, you can't watch your Netflix that you wanted to watch.
Right.
Or, you know, now Netflix would have no idea that it was not in the same location as your home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know, anything else like that. You know, you can print to your printer as if it was on your network. Literally everything that applies as if you were on your network at your house or your office, if you have this hooked up in an office. All that stuff just carries over. You just become on that network just, you know, through a tunnel over the regular internet. Right?
So, I mean, I got to say it's interesting to watch like some of the comments on this one because a lot of people are like, why don't you just buy Wi-Fi? And it's, you know, the idea here is you don't have to configure OpenVPN, which is just a glorious experience, you know, and for, you know, $200, where is it? No, do they have it alone? Yeah, it looks like it's all the Amplify kits. That's interesting.
I would think there would be a way to get it alone because it uses the same like hub as is already available, right? So you could very well already have that. So I'm not sure. They're launching it on Kickstarter, so you have to flip through the Kickstarter, which is weird for a company that's, you know, been around a while.
Well, stranger things. I've seen a few companies do this when they want to, you know, they don't maybe want to commit to building the gadgets. I'm going to send an email to the crew at Amplify because I can't believe it's not available separate.
Yeah, it looks like every option there is for the router and the teleport, which, like, why on earth would you want a second router if you already had one of them?
So I don't know. Maybe they think it's all going to be new people. In any case, Amplify, Teleport, you've got another VPN option. ladies and gentlemen, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. This episode of This Week in Computer Hardware brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage experience, not keeping up with the time, emotionally traumatic, filled with a lot of confusing situations. It was dated. Needed a client-focused technological revolution, which is why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. The trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. So much better than dealing with, oh my goodness, just documents and moving them. Emotionally traumatic, at least for me. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/twitch. That's rocketmortgage.com/TWICH. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. We want to thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of This Week in Computer Hardware. So we mentioned many glorious things in graphics this week. What we have not yet mentioned is probably the shiniest and most amusing object, the Light and Dark Side Collector's Edition NVIDIA Titan XP pre-order starting yesterday for $1,200. You can choose to power your gaming rig with either the light side of the force or the dark side, writes Jeremy Hellstrom. NVIDIA have announced two new Titan XP GPUs, one battle scarred and lightsaber green representing the Rebel Alliance, and a pristine black card which glows a familiar red for, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the other guys. Oh, my goodness. I also like that Jeremy points out that this is a little behind the time because neither of these organizations are actually in the current Star Wars timeline, but they are shiny, and I like the idea of a distressed GPU for $1,200.
And you could bet Ryan's ordered probably one or two of those distressed GPUs.
I think he should order one of each and, you know, swap.
That's probably what he did
based on his little moods.
knowing him, it would not surprise me in the least if that has already happened.
Oh my goodness. What's the word on the Intel's Optane DC P4800X, the 750 gigabyte version of their new Optane lineup?
So,
are you excited? Will I find an editor's choice mark at the end of this article?
There is. I'm double checking since this just went up a few hours ago. Yes, it did make it. The logo made it. So we actually reviewed this product back in April. We did not review the 750 gig. We reviewed the 375 gig version of the P4800X, which is cross-point inside of an enterprise SSD made by Intel, right?
Right.
Really fast media, non-volatile, phase change-ish style memory. I wrote a separate article a little while back on like what makes the cross-point stuff tick, if you're interested in that. So there's actually a pretty good picture of CrossPoint. If you scroll down the tiniest bit further, yeah, it's so pretty. All right, so we reviewed the product a few months ago. However, we did not review it like with it in our lab. Intel brought us out to Folsom. They briefed us on all the stuff that's great about it. And then I was walked over to a lab on their campus and shown a server. It's like, okay, we can't give this to you yet, but here's the drive. Here's the server. We're going to give you a remote in. You can do whatever you want with it, right? So everything was still above board, but, you know, Intel was still developing the thing. They probably didn't want to have to deal with shipping stuff back and forth in case they needed to update things that you couldn't update with just a firmware on the drive. You know, it was still very much a pre-release product. And they probably didn't want it to be out and off of the Intel campus just quite yet since, you know, it's brand new technology, and they're probably trying to keep it a little close to the vest for as long as humanly possible. Not so much anymore. They've already launched the 900P, which you guys talked about a few weeks back, which was cross-point on a consumer-grade SSD. This is just the enterprise version of it. The Crosspoint stuff's already kind of out, right? If anybody really wanted to get their hands on it and stick it under electron microscopes or whatnot, it's probably already happened. This was the first review of this product in our lab on the same test bed that we were comparing other, you know, testing comparisons against, as opposed to what we had to do during the review last time, which was test comparisons on our side against comparisons at the Intel campus, make sure that the, you know, they installed the same P3700 that we have from Intel in their test bed, and I had to test locally and remotely and make sure those matched so that I could validate. It was just a huge pain in the butt. I hope I never have to do that again. I probably put more hours of work into that one review than any other review we've ever done.
That's a little frightening.
All I have to show for it is just that it was just another review, right? But a lot of good stuff came out of it. The drive was so fast, I had to re-architect our testing software because it just broke it. It just, like, our software before that review was not able to register latencies that were that low, or at least not register them correctly. We fixed a bunch of stuff there. So this time we got the product. We already had our software lined up. So we just kind of, you know, put it through its paces just like we did with the previous model, the 375 gig. Basically, uneventful. Aside from the fact that the performance is amazing, especially the low QDEF performance and, and whatnot. If you go to, I don't know, where's a pretty picture to look at? There's some pretty pictures. So basically there's just charts that I put red X's on to mark where the drive was performing at, compared to, you know, where the spec is, right? And if you scroll down to that next chart, I then compared those results from the P4800X to a pair of the highest competing performing NAND-based enterprise SSDs, right? So you have a P3700 from Intel, which is kind of their flagship for NAND, and we have a Micron 9100 Max, which is the lines in gold on that chart. I literally wrote "holy crap" in the article because just the blue lines just bashes the heck out of everything else, right? There's your Q depth ramp, and you notice that the blue sloped lines, like, just it climbs up to its maximum performance by the time it hits Q depth 16, and then you notice that the competing NAND parts, like, they still have a long way to go on their slope before they can get anywhere near their max figures. So that's key, right? It's you shouldn't have to pile a bunch of requests onto a storage device in order to get the most performance out of it.
True.
A drive like the P4800X would never even get to the point where you had so many piled up on it because it's able to power through them all so quickly, right? And that's key. What you used to have is this first chart coming up, which was your memory speed versus your hard drive speed, right? 100,000 times the latency difference. That's pretty bad. That's also why the difference when you move to an SSD was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Because look at how much of a difference you used to have, right? Your computer would literally just come to a halt every time it ran out of cached information. And then it would have to wait what would probably feel like, for the CPU, would probably feel like an eternity to get some extra information in order to do the next thing I needed to do, right? That's why your computer felt like it just molasses whenever you heard the hard drive kind of crunching away in the background, right?
Right.
And then as you scroll down through those charts, you'll see kind of like what the progression has been for the past few years. Like, that was when we saw solid-state drives launch. And those helped by 10 to 100 times faster than faster latency and response time than your hard disks. But you still had a gap that was about 1,000 times. Well, now if you move to this particular product, if you were to use that as a storage device in your system, by the way, the 900P, the consumer version of this, same exact number, same 10 microsecond latency response time. So that gives you another 10x on top of what you're used to from solid state drives.
Wow.
And you're just getting ever closer and closer to the point where, you know, ideally you wouldn't want any gap, right? You just want whatever your storage is, to be as fast as the rest of your system is. But that's kind of cost prohibitive, right? Kind of expensive to run your entire everything you have on RAM. You'd probably go broke trying to do that, and you'd have to keep it powered because it would go away when the power went out. And then on that last chart, I just threw in a RAM disk. So that bright green line there is just as fast today as we can get a piece of software using RAM but pretending to be a storage device. So that goes to show you that there's a bunch of extra latencies that come into play just from the fact that think of everything in an operating system that has historically been designed to talk to hard disks was probably going to have like a little bit of latency associated with it. I mean, that code was written around a thing that took 10 milliseconds to respond. So you didn't have to be perfect, right? And, you know, and there have been improvements like NVMe, as an example, is a different protocol as opposed to AHCI, and NVMe is a little leaner and it saves you a little bit of latency, but it can only save you so much. There's still other moving parts that need to happen when when an operating system tries to access some storage. As an example, if you ask for a kilobyte of data from a storage device, in the background that data gets moved to the RAM, and then the CPU gets basically the interrupt handler lets the CPU know, hey, your information's there. So there's already this extra hop that you might even be able to get away, like move away from in the future. Like, you know, in future architectures, you could potentially get to the point where the cross point, whatever's on the cross point, just goes directly to the CPU when it asks for it, because it could theoretically be fast enough where the CPU could just wait on it and not try to change and do something else in the background. Because that's why the whole interrupt request thing happens. You know, the CPU goes off, multitasks, goes and looks at your email client, whatever you were doing, moving your mouse on the screen, and then gets interrupted by the storage thing, right? All that stuff takes extra time. So, you know, eventually we might kind of move away from that mechanism when you start getting the memory so quick. Again, you know, where compared to hard drives, we're 10,000, you know, 1,000 to 10,000 times a latency reduction, like just that much faster compared to a hard disk. So, yeah, and there were some other tests I did. You know, I'd say just flip through the review. There's a bunch of interesting tests. There's one test where we ramped up a write speed going to the drive in the background, and then checked what the result of the latency was for reading. In other words, you're trying to read stuff off of it, but you're increasing what's called write pressure. You know, something in the background is just doing more and more work. It's actually, if you scroll down to the next chart right there. So you have a green line, a yellow line, or a gold line there. And as you increase the write pressure, which is like left to right, those lines climb up and you get lower and lower response times. Like the SSD is too busy doing other things to give you the information you're asking for. And then there's that blue line, which looks like the axis. That's actually a line. It doesn't start climbing noticeably until you get well beyond 500,000 requests per second. So in other words, this P4800X was handling over 500,000 random write requests in the background, and its read latency was still less than 24 microseconds, which is still faster than any of the other SSDs perform, even if they were doing nothing else and you just asked for one single bit of info. Right, that stuff would still, you know, that stuff would still take, I think it's like between 60 and 80 microseconds. So, you know, with all this load on it, the drive was still able to just be a beast. Basically, just everything you throw at it, it just doesn't care. That's kind of like what I said in the 900P review as well. Like, it really doesn't care. It just, I don't even think these drives respond to trim. Like, trim is the thing you tell a NAND SSD, hey, I don't need that information anymore. You can try to speed yourself up by having more extra room to breathe and whatnot. I don't even think these drives, I don't think these drives even do anything with the trim instruction, because they don't need to. A cross point can be overwritten. It's an in-place rewritable memory. In other words, if you have 4 kilobytes in a particular place and you want to overwrite it, it just overwrites. There's no extra step. There's no erase. There's no pages. There's no blocks. It's basically like RAM. So it's good stuff. It is expensive for this particular drive, but remember, it's an enterprise part. You have to have an enterprise purpose if you're going to be using this particular part. If you're a client, you're a consumer, you want to game on the thing. Granted, the gaming version of this, which is the 900P also in that photo, only goes up to 480 gig currently, but it comes in at a fraction of the cost of these drives, which come in at like $4 per gig, which is pretty pricey. But, you know, they can do other tricky things. Like there's a way to configure one of these drives in a server in such a way that it augments the DRAM in the server. There's an extra piece of software that you buy a license for from Intel. And if, say, you had like, you know, 64 gig of DRAM in a server, or 128 gig or something like that, you could add one of these drives to the server, install that piece of software, and suddenly you end up with an amount of RAM equal to the drive size with your actual with your actual RAM just being a cache for the drive. So as if CrossPoint was fast enough, you're using RAM as a cache to cache the thing that's also pretty quick. You know, and it gives you, granted, it's not as fast as if you had all of that being RAM, but it's right. Intel's pretty good at the efficiency of that, and they showed, you know, when they showed us live demos of you know, this thing doing that, it ended up, you know, being way more cost effective, and in many cases and for many workloads, you know, because a lot of the time you're not using all of the RAM at once, right?
Right.
So you're able to get away with spending a fraction of the cost for that much RAM. You know, they were showing, I think they showed us a server that had like almost a terabyte worth of this CrossPoint stuff installed in. And, you know, just, you know, a few hundred gigabytes worth of RAM, and it was still, you were getting 80 to 90% of the performance that you would have got had you, you know, if you had all DRAM, again, for, you know, much lower amount of money.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Looking in the direction of the mobile side of things, Apple. TechCrunch reports just bought imaging sensor startup Invisage Technologies. And this is kind of part of the Apple tradition. Look in a direction you want to improve in and buy a company that's leading in that technological corner of the universe. Or as an Apple spokesperson confirmed, quote, Apple buys smaller technology companies from time to time, and we generally do not discuss our purpose or plans. But you can probably imagine that Invisage Technologies, which works on imaging on space-constrained devices like smartphones, as the Ingrid London writes over at TechCrunch, is to, you know, improve the dynamic range and the quality of the images coming in on the cameras and iOS devices. So, you know, apparently this has been confirmed because there's a few Invisage employees that are already saying they work for Apple on LinkedIn. Invisage has been silent for a while. And, you know, kind of the big thing is that Invisage has 27 patents apparently that are reasonably valuable. But, you know, the key thing that comes out of Invisage is quantum film, which brings it's software, it's material science, and it's basically technology that allows small cameras to take better photos in cruddy conditions. So you can kind of see a left or right pan on this one. I suspect this will stop and we'll be able to look at the quantum film and not quantum film. If you look at the webpage, it's up there. But
I think that video is from the quantum film.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
The idea is that you get more dynamic range. You're able to do, you could basically do like single shot HDR, stuff like that, right? You just better dynamic range where usually you would have to take multiple exposures at different amounts of exposure, different exposure lengths. You know, if you could get better dynamic range just in one thing, like that's, you know, maybe Apple's tired of buying sensors from Sony.
Maybe they are. It's interesting. Like, Invisage's documents basically say that it's a photosensitive layer that uses Invisage's newly invented class of materials to absorb light, specifically a quantum dot material, nanoparticles that are dispersed to form a grid. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm all for getting better low light and better high dynamic range performance. But it also could be used for Invisage has noted authentication, autonomy, and augmented or virtual reality. So I think there's a lot of dovetailing between these two companies, and we'll see what actually turns up. On a completely random note, Bram Cohen, the inventor of BitTorrent, the founder of the BitTorrent concept, if you will, has come up with a new company called Chia. And he's basically saying that Bitcoin transactions waste too much electricity and they give advantages to Bitcoin scavengers that are paying less for electricity. So he's figured out a way to use unused storage space inside of drives to run the blockchain. So it's an interesting idea. I just wanted to point
that out
because
that's right up my alley.
I just thought you might want to know about that one. And one last thought before we begin to run for the doors. The first reviews of the Nest Secure are available, the $500 Nest-based alarm system. It's not cheap. And, you know, if you don't have the Nest ecosystem, it's valuable. Its utility or value is probably significantly less than its cost might be. Yeah, kind of a harsh 7.2, 3.5-star rating from CNET. That's CNET saying they're not really impressed, or Megan Wallerton saying the reviewer saying she's not particularly impressed with this product.
Yeah, I think the issue is just there's not enough stuff to connect to the thing yet.
Yeah, right? I mean, and I also, after my experience, part of me loves the Nest thermometer, and part of me, you know, when we had issues with the Nest thermometer turning off the heat, despite the fact that my wife and children were in the same room with the Nest thermometer, it made me think that I probably didn't want to be buying my smoke detection, my smoke alarms from Nest. So call me crazy.
Yeah.
Apparently the hardware is a little nicer than the SimpliSafe and iSmart alarm stuff, but not spectacular. So something to think about should you be looking for an alarm ecosystem. Because, mm-hmm. you know, nothing says crazy like needing a new alarm and wanting to attach it to your thermostat. That's the world we live in, people. Oh, my goodness. PCPerd.com is the place where you can find Alan Malventano's writing on hardware and many other things. I suggest you go over to PCPerd.com today when you get a chance. You can normally find me over at techthing.com or AVXL. Robert Heron and I just recorded a new episode of AVXL today where we talked about, amongst other things, in-wall speakers, subwoofers, the joy of analog noise if you have been living the digital vita loca for a long time. And if you've been thinking about the Google Pixel 2 XL and you're wondering, is the screen thing hype or is it really nasty? We got a review of that up on Tech Thing today, along with a few other treats and tidbits for you. That's Tech Thing, TekThing.com. And you can find all the older episodes and information on how to subscribe at twit.tv/twitch. And I hope you do, if you haven't already. And if you can, tell a friend about This Week in Computer Hardware. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Patrick Gordon.
And I'm Alan Malventano.
We'll see you next week on Twitch.